The British government announced this week they have identified 10 suitable sites for nuclear power plants to be built by 2025, which they say will ensure there is always enough power in the country. Professor of Climate Change at the University of Adelaide's Environment Institute, Barry Brook, agrees. Professor Brook's push is towards so-called fourth-generation reactors, which, unlike their predecessors, don't produce nuclear waste and which he says generate minimal carbon emissions.
The sort of reactors that are being built today in China, in India, in Japan, these are called third generation, and they're essentially an evolutionary design on reactors. So they make them simpler to build. You can make more components in factories. They have safety systems incorporated better within the design, and they're called passive safety systems, so that they rely on the laws of physics rather than engineered systems. And they're the ones that are rolling out today. Fourth generation are essentially the next step in nuclear power, where it addresses the issue of the use of uranium or thorium, so how efficiently you can use that nuclear fuel, and a much better way of dealing with the waste product that comes out of them.
Now, climate change is obviously a big problem on the tips of everyone's tongues at the moment, but doesn't it take at least 10 years to build a nuclear power plant, and you know, that's really too long to solve this problem of global warming?
If Australia was to get a reactor, let's say we would decide today to get a reactor here, then if you went through all of the steps in the process, such as setting up a regulatory commission, commissioning the first plant, getting site approval, building the thing, then a 10-year time frame is probably what you're looking at. If you look globally, then that's certainly not the case. Japan and Korea have been building a number of reactors in 3 to 4 years, and China is doing the same. So once you've started to build them and you have the right regulatory process in place, then you can build them quite fast. And ultimately, no matter which energy technology you go for, the rate will have to be extraordinarily rapid, much more rapid than most people realise. If you were going to replace all of our power needs by 2050 with clean energy technology, those that didn't produce any carbon dioxide, then you're looking at something like a gigawatt of power, a huge amount of power, enough to run a medium-sized city every day from 2010 to 2050. So if you're going to do it with nuclear power stations, then you know that's a large reactor every 1 to 2 days. If you're going to do it with solar thermal, for instance, and you're looking at covering 45 square kilometres of desert every day. If you're doing it with wind, you're looking at building 1,500 huge turbines covering 340 square kilometres. I mean, no matter which way you look at it, it's a big challenge. And so I don't think we should shirk from the fact that it's a big challenge with nuclear, because it's going to be a big challenge with renewables as well, and ultimately they're probably all going to be contributing to this.
Barry Brook, Sir Hubert Wilkins, Professor of Climate Change at the University of Adelaide's Environment Institute. One of Professor Brook's examples of a country successfully using nuclear power is France. They derive nearly 80% of their electricity from 59 nuclear plants, and as a result have the cheapest power rates in Europe and the lowest carbon footprint per person. But Executive Director of Beyond Zero Emissions, Matthew Wright, says the real picture is not as pretty as it seems.
France has had a lot of issues with their nuclear power plants. For instance, in July there was a heat wave, and the cooling impost on their water supply is so significant. And think of France. I mean, that's a place with significant rainfall when you compare it to somewhere like Australia, where we're in constant drought and we never had high rainfall anyway. They had to shut a third of their nuclear reactors down because it became too hot to use the rivers as coolant, because they were basically going to destroy the rivers' ecosystems if they discharged such hot water back into the rivers. So they had to close them down. And even approaching winter, about a third of the French reactors are out of service for maintenance and a few accidents. I mean, they've got a list of an average of about 800 a year of nuclear incidents, and you can get that on a website, a French government website. And another really interesting thing is their power is being supplemented by imports from Germany and Spain, because they haven't been able to meet peak electricity requirements during the winter from their nuclear fleet. So Spain, which has currently setting records for renewable energy, for instance, about on Sunday a week ago, they achieved 53% of their power at one point in time for most of a day from wind power. They're actually exporting power into France in order to prop up their energy sector, because the nuclear power plants aren't coping.
Do you think that we could solely rely on renewable energies to power us and right into the future?
we can easily run the Australian economy on 100% renewable energy. In fact, we are the Saudi Arabia of renewable energy. Like, we have the world's, you could call them deposits or resource, whatever you want, we've got the world's resource. So we have abundant wind power and we have the world's best solar resource. And now there's solar plants which are getting built in the United States and Spain, and in fact a number of them are already complete, there's a significant amount complete, and they operate throughout the night. So they store up thermal energy that they collect, so the sun's rays hit mirrors, the mirrors get collected on absorber tubes or on a receiver, and you're collecting thousands of times the energy of the sun. That energy is then stored in a big tank like a thermos flask, and they call them molten salt storage tanks, and they hold that heat back for nighttime, and they keep running their turbine, the same turbine that's in a coal, a gas or a nuclear plant, they keep that running all night long. And these plants are already operating and dispatching power, powering light bulbs, computers, aluminium smelters, steelworks, economies. And that's what's happening in Spain. In fact, they've got enough there to power South Australia, and they've got a project pipeline with enough to power South Australia and New South Wales already.